Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdal.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries of the Quran. Today we will conclude our study to the story of Joseph, that is Quran chapter 12. But in our last broadcast, we ended with the prayer of Joseph. That is what Allah clearly stated in Quran chapter 12, verses 101 and 102. For in verse 101, Joseph prayed to Allah and he said, "My Lord, indeed you have given to me from the kingdom and have taught me the interpretation of the saying that is mixed between truth and falsehood." For we know that Joseph was given the gift of interpreting the dreams. But he was not a king. He was a governor, a man in charge after Pharaoh. For the kingdom of Egypt was never given to Joseph. Then Joseph continued his prayer by saying, "Creator of the heavens and the earth, you are my friend in this world and the hereafter. Cause me to die a Muslim and gather me with the good." Once again, this is a fabricated prayer. Why? Because Joseph did not die as Muslim, but he died as a Jew. After all, his father Israel is the one who taught him all the truths of the Jewish worship. As we have seen, the offering of sacrifice to the God of his grandfather Isaac. As we have read that together in Genesis chapter 46 verse 1. There God said, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac, not to Allah, the God of Muhammad." And he did not worship as Muslim at all. Allah ended that story in verse 102 by saying, "This is some of the news of the unseen that we reveal unto you." Allah here is speaking to Muhammad. When in reality, I'm sorry, Allah did not reveal anything new to Muhammad, because all that Muhammad did and those who helped him to rewrite the story of Joseph in the Quran, they just simply visited the Bible and read few of the verses of the Bible. Allah ended that verse by stating to Muhammad, "You were not with them when they gathered their affairs, and they were deceivers." And most people, even if you are careful, are not believers. Once again, Muhammad here trying to paint a picture of the children of Israel, these are Joseph's brothers, as deceivers and as unbelievers. And that's not what we read in Genesis account. Now, if you continue to read Quran chapter 12, between verses 104 and verse 110, all these verses, Allah is speaking to Muhammad and how Muhammad should handle the problem he have with the people of his time, those who did not believe in the word of Allah or in the biblical story which he is quoting here in the Quran. Then we read Quran chapter 111, which is the last verse in the story of Joseph. And by the way, as I have mentioned to you earlier, this is a Medini verse in the Mecca chapter of the Quran, which means that verse was written years later after Muhammad finished writing the story of Joseph in the Quran in the city of Mecca. We're in it. Allah is speaking to Muhammad and even to us today when Allah stated, "Indeed, in their stories there was a lesson to those who have understanding." What stories? In the Jewish people stories, or in Joseph and his brother's story. Here we see there's a lesson to those who have understanding. Then Allah said, "It was not a forged saying." Why Allah would put that in the Quran? If you're telling the truth and nothing but the truth, why you have to say, "I'm not lying, I'm not lying"? By the way, that is a repeated statement of Muhammad all over the Quran. Muhammad throughout the Quran always said, "It is not a lie, it is the truth. We're not forging these things." When in reality, as we have seen in the previous weeks of study, we know for sure that the story of Joseph in the Quran is simply a forged saying. Continue with the last verse of the Quran, but a confirmation to what is between his hands. What Allah is talking about here, Allah is telling us that's the story of the Quran. That is Quran chapter 12. It is confirming the Bible which was between Muhammad's hands. That is a great assurance for all those who believe in the Quran to know that in Muhammad days, that 600 years after Christ, there was a Bible and the Bible was perfect, or Allah would have said something completely different. Allah would have said, oh Muhammad, this is to correct the false information or the corrupt information which is in the Bible, which is between your hands. Allah did not say that. But Allah simply said that the Quran, that is Quran chapter 12, is here to confirm the Bible, which is between your hands, which means the Bible was perfect in Muhammad days, which he had in his hands. No corruption whatsoever was in the Bible, because once again, Allah here is confirming the Bible in Muhammad days. And Allah ended that verse by stating an exposition on all things and guidance and a mercy to believing people. I'm sorry, I do not see any exposition here in all things or in anything. As a matter of fact, the only way you can understand the Quran in Quran chapter 12, the story of Joseph, is that you must go back to the Bible. You must read the entirety of the biblical account so you can understand what Muhammad is talking about. As for the guidance and the mercy to believe in people, I do not see any guidance in the Quran. I do not see any mercy in the Quran for the Muslim believers or for anybody else. That will bring us to the end of the story of Joseph in the Quran. Now, what about the rest of the 7 years of famine? We know that when Joseph's family came to Egypt, it was the second year of the famine. What about the rest of the 5 years? What happened during these years? What happened to Joseph's family? Where did Jacob die? And when did he die? And where was he buried? What about Joseph? How long did Joseph live? When did Joseph die? You see, these are just few of many questions we can ask our dear Muslim friends. And guess what? They have no answer. There is no answer whatsoever in the Quran, simply because the Quran never mentioned this information. So we started with a good over 120 questions so far, and here we're asking few more questions after we finished the study of the story of Joseph in the Quran, and the answer is still only Allah knows. Or we can know the answer by simply examining that which is written in the Bible in the Genesis account. For in Genesis chapter 47, we know that Joseph told Pharaoh about his father and his family and how they all came from the land of Canaan to the land of Goshen. Joseph actually took with him five of his brothers who made him to stood up in front of Pharaoh. And that's how they ended living in the land of Goshen. Not only they took care of their cattle, but they also took care of the cattle of Pharaoh himself. Then we know in verse 7 that Joseph made his father Jacob to stand up before Pharaoh, and he blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked about how old was Jacob, and he told him that he was 130 years. Once again, in verse 10, we know that Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and Joseph made his father and his brother to live in the land of Egypt, in the best land, that is, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh gave the command to Joseph. Joseph took care of his father and all his household with all the feed he needed according to the number of their children. Now Joseph made Egypt a rich country. How? Because he sold the grain which he collected in the 7 years of plentiful with silver, and he brought the silver to the house of Pharaoh. All the people in the land of Canaan and all the people in Egypt bought grain with their silver. Something you never heard of in the Quran. Then in verse 16, we know after the Egyptians gave all the silver to Pharaoh to buy grain, then they still needed more food because the famine years are still moving on. And that is when Joseph bought all their cattle, since he did not have any silver, that he may give them grain instead of their cattle. And when that year was over, the Egyptians came back to Joseph and they said, the silver is gone and our cattle is gone. So what we have except our bodies and our land? Why should we die in front of your eyes? Buy us and buy our land. And Joseph did. So he bought all the people of Egypt as slaves to Pharaoh. And he gives them grain that they continue to live and they will not die.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
The Egyptians sold all their land and they sold themselves to Pharaoh. And now Pharaoh became the owner of all the land of Egypt and the people of Egypt. And that is what is written in verse 20. Then Joseph gave the Egyptians some of the grain for planting after the 7 years of famine was over. And he only collected 20% of the harvest as he brought it back to Pharaoh. And the Egyptian collected 80% of the harvest to themselves. And that was the new law which passed by Joseph in the land of Egypt as taxes throughout the land of Egypt. After Jacob came to Egypt, he lived another 17 years, and after that, he died. So the total of the age of Jacob before he died was 147 years, something you will never find in the Quran. Muslims do not know anything about that, simply because the information is not mentioned there. But Jacob told Joseph before he died, if you have found grace in your eyes, swear to me that you will not bury me in Egypt, but you must bury me with my family in their grave according to your saying. Joseph gave an oath to his father Jacob, and that is exactly what he would do. So Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Now in Genesis chapter 48, we read about the blessing of Jacob to the two sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. Obviously, that portion of the account of Joseph, once again, is not mentioned in the Quran. And that story can be read between verses 3 and verse 20. But notice that in the blessing of Jacob to the two sons of Joseph, he actually blessed the youngest, which is Ephraim, more than the blessing of his brother, which is Manasseh. Joseph did not like that because that is when Jacob put his right hand over Ephraim and the left hand over Manasseh by crossing his hands over them. For what happened is that Joseph put Manasseh on the right side of Jacob and Ephraim at the left side of Jacob. That may Jacob, his father, bless Manasseh with the right hand and Ephraim with the left hand. This maybe means nothing for our system of living or our culture or our way of seeking the blessing of God in the West, but that has a great importance in the biblical culture in the Old Testament. It was always the firstborn receive the double blessing. And if some father would like to pray to bless his children, he will always put the right hand on the oldest. But that's not what happened here in the Bible. Obviously, we know in verse 10 of Genesis 48 that Jacob's eyes became weak. He could not see, not because of the crying over his son Joseph, as Allah or Muhammad erroneously wrote in the story of the Quran. No, for the loss of sight of Jacob here took place 17 years later. So Jacob lost his sight as a result of his old age. Verses 21 and 22, we read an amazing prophecy from Jacob towards his son Joseph. For there we read, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above the brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow." In Genesis chapter 49, we read about Jacob giving up his spirit and dying. But before he died, he blessed all his children. Something, once again, you will never find in the Quran. He actually prophesied for the future of every one of his sons. One of the great prophecies we read in the book of Genesis is in verse 9 and 10. That is Jacob's prophecy concerning the coming of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ from the descendants of the tribe of his son Judah. And there we read, "Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh," that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, "come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Notice here, Jacob is telling us that Judah as a nation, as a kingdom, will be in charge of the land until Shiloh, that is Jesus, come in the flesh. What a great prophecy, which was obviously fulfilled when Jesus came in the flesh. Because after that, the Roman conquered Judah and they were in control of all the land of Israel. Then we know that Jacob died at the age of 147, and the Egyptian mummified his body, and Joseph and his brothers buried Jacob in the same cave where Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rivka, and Leah were buried. By the way, verse 31 of Genesis 49 is a great evidence that Leah did not come to Egypt, but she was buried before Jacob and the rest of his family came to Egypt, as we mentioned before. In Genesis chapter 50, we know that Joseph fulfilled his promise to his father Jacob and buried him in the land of Canaan. But something very important Muhammad forgot also to mention is what we read in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. That is when we read, "When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command it before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." We continue to read in verse 18, "And his brethren also went and fall down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" And my favorite verse in the entire book of Genesis is verse 20, and there we read, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." In simple words, Joseph said to them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Joseph and his household lived in Egypt, and Joseph died when he was 100 and 10 years old. Joseph saw the third generation of his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Finally, Joseph told his brothers another great prophecy, which we read in verse 24. For there we read, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. And Joseph died in the age of 110 years, and they mummified his body, and they put it in a coffin in Egypt. By the way, a little bit later, when Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt, they carried Joseph's body from Egypt back to the promised land, and they buried Joseph in the land of Canaan according to his wishes. And that brings us to the end of the biblical account of Joseph. And as we have seen, our friends, the differences between the writing of Allah in the Quran according to the belief of Muslims and the true biblical account which took place in the book of Genesis, as Moses penned to us all the details about the account of Joseph from before birth all the way until his burial. Once again, I will challenge our dear Muslim friends to read Quran chapter 12 and compare it to that which is written in the Genesis account to see for themselves the difference between the true word of God and the comedy of Allah and Muhammad in the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.